This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network with another recording from the Charlottesville Albemarle Democratic Breakfast. The topic for March 2007 is Haiti. Several doctors routinely travel to the island nation to work at the Tovar Clinic in the rural community of Grison-Garde. There's also an orphanage there, administered by Dr. Ray Ford. Ford's son Mike spoke about the region and was followed by Dr. Mike Dickens, a Charlottesville pediatrician who describes the conditions of many of the patients served by the clinic. They're introduced by Sherry Kraft, co-chair of the Charlottesville Democratic Party.
Okay, I am very pleased to introduce our speakers this morning, and I'll get on with that. Mike Ford. Mike was born in Charlottesville and raised in North Park, East Down the Road. I graduated from Brown University with degrees in English and education, and worked for the Savis educational systems, which runs American schools around the world. Very interesting experiences there. Mike first visited Haiti in 1998 and has been back there 14 times. At least since you contacted us. We're pictured by now, but many times. He returned to Charlottesville and opened the Tap Tap Folk Arts, Crafts, and Collectibles Gallery and Shop in Scottsville in 2002, because that ran very successfully for 3 years. Mike now works as managing editor for the Core Knowledge Foundation here in Charlottesville and lives in Barbersville with his wife and two children. Mike's father, who probably most of you know, intimately, Dr. Ray Ford, pediatrician, was instrumental in establishing the Grison-Garde Orphanage and Primary School and serves as its medical director. And Mike's grandfather, Bob Ford, is the person who provided the financial support for this project and enabled it to become a reality. We're also very pleased to be joined this morning by Dr. Mike Dickens, who probably, again, most of us know you, who has provided wonderful pediatric care to probably just about every family in town here, one way or another, for, I hear it's about 30 years. 30 years. And has also made numerous trips to Grison-Garde as a volunteer physician to care for the children and families of the orphanage and school.
Hi, she said, my name is Mike Ford, and I'm going to talk to you about Haiti, as well as a couple of projects that we have, that we're involved with down there. Dr. Dickens and I have been to Haiti together several times, working at a medical clinic. And I'm going to let him talk for a while. I don't want to monopolize the time up here. But I write history, write and edit history textbooks, and so I'm somewhat obsessed with history, and I think Haiti has just one of the most fascinating histories in the world as a nation. So I do want to talk to you some about just the history of Haiti. I was talking to a gentleman this morning, and he mentioned most Americans don't know a thing about Haiti. Most people know it's somewhere in our hemisphere, but I'm going to give you some details. I think you'll find it is just one of the most interesting stories you've ever heard, the story of this nation from start to finish. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the U.S. relation to Haiti and maybe fill you in a little bit on the political scene down there and what happens, but it's probably a little bit too much to explain in the course of half an hour or 45 minutes. It's very complex. And then I'm going to get into talking about the Tovar Medical Clinic and how that started, and then the Grison-Garde Orphanage and School. These are two independent projects. Give you some information on those, and I have a handout to give you afterwards, and I've been instructed to make sure that nobody leaves the room without this handout. I'm just going to jump into the history of Haiti, which, I mean, for all intents and purposes, you could start in 1492. Columbus landed there. Most people don't know that. It's not the first place he set foot, but they do believe that it is the first place he tried to establish a settlement. You may know one of Columbus's ships wrecked in 1492, and he used the parts from that ship to build a fort, and he left a detachment of soldiers behind in that fort. And he went back to Europe, and he returned a year or two later to find that this fort was gone and all the soldiers were dead. And they had been killed by the Arawak Indians, who were native to Haiti at the time. And the Arawak Indians gave Haiti its name, Aiti, which means mountainous country. Has anybody here ever been to Haiti? A couple people, two people, okay. Haiti is very close. It's one of our closest neighbors. It's just south of Cuba, or kind of southeast, I guess, of Cuba. It's about a two-hour flight from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. As we all know, people can get here on a little boat, a rickety little boat. You can float to Florida from Haiti. It's not far. It is by far, however, the poorest country in our hemisphere. After Columbus's failed little settlement there, it wasn't very long. Columbus named the island Hispaniola, claimed it for Spain. Spain sort of ran the island for a few years. Eventually, they ceded control over much of the island to the French. And a lot of people don't realize this, but Haiti soon became the single richest colony in the world. And for about 100 years, it provided about 40% of the wealth to the French Empire. And that was in the form of sugar plantations, mainly. I should step back a little bit. I may have skipped the part that Haiti means mountainous country. It's a terrifically mountainous place. 6,000-foot mountains rise straight up from the coast. And it's still a beautiful country.